From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to Washington Watch. Coming up on this Thursday edition, could there be more rounds of musical chairs in the Trump cabinet? On Monday, President Trump announced Rex Tillerson was out as Secretary of State, and CIA Director Mike Pompeo was being selected to fill that spot. Some are suggesting other positions could become vacant and more shuffling of the chairs. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona will be here to talk about the changes. Also, late last week, the Mississippi legislature approved and sent to the governor the Gestational Age Act, which bans abortion after 15 weeks. Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant will be here with the details of what would make Mississippi the most pro-life state in the nation. Also in Oklahoma, a showdown between lawmakers. Leadership in the Sooner State pulled several bills from the Senate floor today to punish four fiscally conservative senators who blocked a tax increase last night. They needed two votes to pass the tax, and they couldn't get the four senators to budge. Oklahoma State Senator Joseph Silk, the author of a religious liberty bill that was pulled, will be here with the latest. Also, Oklahoma Wesleyan University President Dr. Everett Piper, who would have been affected by the bill, will weigh in on the matter as well. So if you're in the Sooner State, listen up. We've got action items for you today here on Washington Watch. All right, the website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. Let me remind you, pastors, coming up May 23rd through the 25th, the Watchman on the Wall National Pastors Briefing in Washington, D.C. to find out more about how you can be a part of that. Great event. You won't want to miss it. You can see the lineup of speakers we have. Go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Okay, as I mentioned on Monday, and it was great news, quite frankly, to hear that President Trump had tapped Mike Pompeo, who has been serving as the CIA director, former congressman from Kansas, solid conservative. He had tapped him to be the new Secretary of State to replace Rex Tillerson. Also, Larry Kudlow, economic analyst and TV pundit, was selected by Trump to serve as the director of the National Economic Council. The question is, are more changes coming? We're hearing some rumblings. Joining us now to talk about it, Congressman Andy Biggs. He represents the 5th Congressional District of Arizona. He is a member of the House Judiciary and Science, Space, and Technology Committees and is the chairman of the Environment Subcommittee. Andy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good to be with you, Tony. Thank you so much.
Now, you're actually hoping that we're going to see some additional changes in the Trump cabinet.
Yes, I am, particularly in the Veterans Administration Secretary. I think it's time for Secretary Shulkin to step aside, and I've requested that the president ask for his resignation, and I've urged the secretary to submit his resignation, quite frankly, because things are just not improving for our veterans through the Veterans Administration under his leadership.
Are there some of your colleagues that share your concerns that the VA is not turning around as fast as the president had committed that it would?
Yes. I'm not alone. When you go home, certainly when I go home, and many of my colleagues express this too, we work with veterans a lot. I have two people that they spend 95% of their time doing veterans issues. Because the Veterans Administration just can't get the job done. And I think it's a crisis that starts at the top because it's a leadership crisis. It's a culture crisis. And, what happens is we hear all the horror stories. And by the way, Tony, the Phoenix VA was the center point for all of the scandal that unfolded where they had waiting lists, people were given bonuses for not treating people. We had veterans waiting so long that they passed away. And, it's really not getting too much better. We have people who are given a 30-day supply of drugs, but they can't get in to see a doctor to get a refill for 6 months, for 6 months. So this is just a dynamic mess, and it has to be corrected.
One of the names that is being floated as a possibility is former Texas Governor Rick Perry, who is certain right now cabinet secretary at the Department of Energy or director there. Is that something that's that you're hearing as a possibility?
I am hearing Governor Perry as a possible replacement. He's certainly a great candidate. Because I think what needs to happen is you need a good leader who will come in, and you know, I've talked about this before, Tony. They need to clean out the underbrush, and it's not the rank and file that are the problem. It is the managers. It's the higher ups. Those are the people that probably ought to go. And Shulkin came from that environment. He's a holder from the previous administration, and he did not clean out those. But I think Rick Perry would, and I think Rick Perry is a good leader, and I think he, when he has a clear vision, I think he is able to deliver on that vision.
So, Congressman Biggs, any feedback from the administration, from the White House, as that is being considered?
They have not contacted me directly, although... you know, there's a President Trump has tweeted. There's been some comments coming out that he's not happy with Secretary Shulkin. He's mentioned that he wanted to contact an individual to talk to him about maybe replacing Shulkin. I mean, he did that publicly. So I'm getting the sense that President Trump also has basically run out of patience.
We're also hearing that H.R. McMaster's is also a possibility that he may be on his way out. Continued rumblings even over the chief of staff, although I think the president seems to be pretty happy with John Kelly. What's going to be interesting with Rex Tillerson out, he was pretty much aligned with General Mattis, Secretary of Defense. I'm wondering if the Secretary of Defense may be considering or contemplating leaving as well.
Yeah, that's hard to – I mean, that's a great point, but it's hard to really see because so much that's happening is going on behind closed doors, even though so much is also happening in a way, quite frankly, in a public way that we don't normally see. So it's really hard to see who might step in there. I mean, Pompeo certainly is seems to be the front runner on the Secretary of State's job. It's going to be the president's nominee, but some of these others, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think he's going to get rid of John Kelly. But then I've been proven wrong many times with my crystal ball.
as have a lot of folks. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Congressman Andy Biggs of Arizona, my guest, talking about some of the changes in the cabinet. Not unusual. It's a folks. It is a high stress, nonstop job, and you know it wears people out. I mean, it is a grinder to be a part of an administration like this. I want to go back to Pompeo for a while, for a moment, because he has he's actually done, I think, quite well over at the CIA. Kind of that was an area. You know, the controversy between the administration and the intelligence community when the president came in. It seems that he's righted things over there. I think he would be the change agent that the State Department needs. But he might run into some opposition in the Senate. In fact, we've already seen that Rand Paul is saying he's too hawkish and is saying that he's going to oppose him as Secretary of State.
Yes, I saw that, the chairman over there has indicated that he doesn't think that's going to be a major obstacle. But he's going to be able to get Pompeo through the committee, and then it's just going to be a matter of lobbying. And the word I'm hearing too is that Minority Leader Schumer is not going to actively lobby against Pompeo being approved for Secretary of State. So if that's the case, then there's a significant likelihood that Pompeo is going to make it through.
When you look at these changes, you talked about the president. In fact, he made this comment on Monday when he mentioned Pompeo, is that he says, my cabinet's coming together. My team is coming together. I'm finally being able to get that team together. I think that is extremely critical, not just for the administration, but I think it's actually critical for Congress, those that are, everybody in the House is up for reelection. I think the voters want to see that things are happening. The president has had the ability to advance the agenda that he campaigned on, that Republicans are able to go back and say, yes, we did this. And I think having those key people in the right places, the right seats on the bus, if you will, and this administration is critical for that.
Yeah, and you know, Tony, you raise an excellent point. I mean, you know, case in point is the Rick Saccone election. I couldn't understand why the ads coming out of the National Party on behalf of Saccone were not embracing the Trump agenda. I mean, that's the whole thing is Saccone's a Trump guy. Let's embrace the Trump agenda. And so it goes right up to the cabinet, and Trump had some people in there that probably, in my opinion, were not Trump guys serving in his cabinet. And I think he's – and that's understandable. I mean, so he needed to get the cabinet to the position where they're his guys. He knows them better. They agree with the Trump agenda. That's critical. It is critical, as you pointed out, for the midterms. We've got to embrace the agenda that got Trump elected, because right. We all got elected to be change agents. People are tired of the same old swampiness of Washington D.C. So yeah. We've got to reach in and have the courage to say, you know what, we're going to do these things. We're going to do the tax reform, but you can't just do the tax reform. You got to repeal Obamacare. You got to do all the things. We got to build a wall. All the things that President Trump campaigned on. That's what he got elected to do. That's what he promised to do. And so it shouldn't be a surprise that he wants to do that. So, but it is to have a politician want to do what he said he'd do.
Yeah, so. That's somewhat of an anomaly. But yeah. Congressman, you know, there are some. Andy, who say that, this shows their disarray in the administration, in the White House. I would take issue with that. I actually show that this is leadership. When you make changes, when things are not getting done, you want to get things done, and you get the right people in the right places to get it done. I think that takes leadership rather than just leave them there and be mediocre in performance.
No, I agree 100%. And if there's one thing we know about President Trump, is he has high expectations, and he wants performance. And so, if you're not meeting those, he doesn't dislike you, but he's going to say we need to get somebody in who can get the job done, and that's critical to him. But you know what? It's critical to us as a nation of free people, because we haven't had that in the last period of time. We need yeah. someone who will lead, keep the promises, keep us in the direction that they said they wanted to go. And you know what? We can sweat the small stuff later, but elections will take care of themselves if we keep our promises that we made. It's that simple. And so I think he's trying to keep his promises by surrounding himself with people now who accept those promises and will carry them forward.
Yep, it's pretty basic stuff. Yeah. Congressman Andy Biggs, as always, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, take care, my friend. Congressman Biggs of Arizona, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And if you're in Kentucky, you might want to give a call over to Rand Paul, 202-224-3121, the switchboard, capital switchboard number, 202-224-3121, publicly saying he's going to oppose Mike Pompeo. It leaves me scratching my head. All right, coming up next, the nation's most pro-life protection bill for the unborn is now in the hands of the governor of Mississippi, Phil Bryant, and he's with us next here on Washington Watch. Don't go away. We're back with the governor after this.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery, Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
Is being right enough to win an election? Many tend to believe that being right, in the sense of being factually correct, is sufficient to win in politics. Unfortunately, political history proves otherwise. A candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Arnakis knows how to win. A senior director for the Leadership Institute, the nation's premier public policy training organization, he has 15 years of grassroots organizing, campaign, fundraising, and communications experience, and has established himself as one of the country's top political trainers. Here, Mr. Arnakis discusses the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election. Go to frc.org/speakers to view this timely discussion.
You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. The website is tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. All right. Mississippi state senators passed the earliest abortion ban in the country last Tuesday. State House Bill 1510 easily passed the Senate in a vote of 35-14, moving Mississippi another step closer to protecting unborn babies from abortion after 15 weeks. Now, this would make Mississippi the most protective state in the nation for unborn children. The bill is now in the hands of Governor Phil Bryant, who has indicated that he will sign the bill. And with us now is Governor Bryant. Governor, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Oh, thank you, Tony. Glad to be with you as always.
Well, Governor, once again, the state of Mississippi leading the way on protecting faith, family, and freedom, in this case, protecting unborn children.
You know, I'm so very proud, Tony. Oftentimes when you hear the national narrative about Mississippi, it's always something about being in last place. And I have to fight that because most of the time it's not true. They're taking information from some think tank, liberal think tank. But now we can say we are leading the nation in protecting the unborn. This 15-week ban will be the most protective language for the unborn. And as you know, with our Religious Freedom Act, we have some of the strongest opportunities because of our law to protect individuals and businesses from an overbearing government because they are expressing their religious freedom. So I am so proud to be the governor of this great state. I see when, and as we all do, you have to occasionally look online to see what the tweets and what Facebook and all those other things are doing. And I see in humor how the left, the liberals, say in such disgust that Mississippi is, the governor has actually said he wants to make Mississippi the safest state in America for the unborn. And they tweet it like in horror. How could he have said that? Well, let me say it again. I want to make Mississippi the safest state in America for the unborn, and House Bill 1510 is a step in the right direction.
Well, Governor, I once again commend you on your leadership on this, because what we've seen actually, when you look at the economic numbers, those states that protect religious freedom and put a high price on human beings it spills over into the economic growth of a state. And I think under your leadership, I think we've seen Mississippi grow. I mean, unfortunately, it's becoming a little too competitive for Louisiana.
I have to laugh because, yeah, you have to look carefully to find out that we've got record low unemployment, the lowest unemployment in Mississippi, 4.6%, since unemployment began to be recorded in the 1970s. You won't see that printed anywhere in any of the media in Mississippi. And also, you see income rates going up fairly dramatically, so more people are working. They're making more money. More children are graduating from high school than ever before. More children are reading on a third grade level than ever before. We have charter schools now. If I could get universal school choice, this would be the most progressive education state in America, while we are protecting the unborn children of this great state, many of whom are minorities, many of whom are female, obviously many that are at 15 weeks moving in their mother's womb. They are kicking. They have developed taste buds. Their eyelids are moving. Their hands and feet have been formed. This is a human being at 15 weeks, and we are going about protecting women, protecting minorities from being torn apart during one of these horrible later-term abortions.
Governor Bryant, how do you think this might influence other states as you've taken this bold stand going to the point of, we've had the debate over, 20 weeks, 5 months. Now you're moving it down to 15 weeks and saying this is the line.
Right.
How do you think this might influence other states?
I hope it encourages them. I'm sure we will have a lawsuit filed immediately. I'll be signing.
That doesn't scare you. That doesn't seem to scare you. You've been there many times before.
Tony, I think I may hold the Southeastern record for being sued by the ACLU. I think they have my name already on the computer screen, and they just write what they want to sue me about. But that's fine. Now, I wear that as a badge of honor, and we'll be sued on this one. But I hope it gives them courage. I hope that they will realize that if we can win this, and I think we will, we'll go to the Fifth Circuit, which is traditionally more conservative on appeal than some of the others around the nation. And if we go all the way to the Supreme Court, we're willing to do that. Now, our Democratic Attorney General said, oh, this is going to be a lengthy and expensive lawsuit. And my question immediately was, what price can you put on the life of a child? And so when other governors, I hope, begin to realize that they are in the business of protecting the unborn children, that we have an important and legitimate interest, a legal, important, legitimate interest in protecting unborn children, they will step up and follow Mississippi's lead.
Well, courage breeds courage, and as we have recognized you in times past for your courage for standing up for religious freedom, once again, we applaud you and recognize you for your courage and the courage of the lawmakers there in Mississippi to stand up for the unborn. And once again, Governor Bryant, just grateful for you and for your leadership.
Well, Tony, thank you. Yeah, and as you and I talked not long ago, to the best of my knowledge, not one complaint has been filed regarding anyone's personal civil violations because of the Religious Freedom Act.
Yeah.
No one has come forward and said, I have been harmed, I have had a loss. No one.
So the sky hasn't fallen?
No, the world has not come apart as we know it, and we're moving forward here in Mississippi, protecting lives, protecting religious freedoms, protecting your Second Amendment.
So on the way out here, Governor, when might you sign this bill into law?
I hope tomorrow. We are trying. Obviously, there are a number of senators and legislators that would like to be present during the signing. So believe me, it will be signed into law. We are now just wanting to make sure that all these courageous members of the legislature are standing there in that photograph when I sign this bill.
All right. Governor Phil Bryant, as always, thanks for being with us.
Tony, thank you so much for what you did.
All right. Folks, don't go away. We're coming back with a check-in on Oklahoma when we return. Don't go away. We're back after this.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay. Is being right enough to win an election? Political history proves otherwise. The candidate who organizes and communicates the best will beat the opposition, no matter how right the other side is. Christians who are running for public office have a moral obligation to study and learn how to win. They must discover the real nature of politics. Robert Ornakis is one of the country's top political trainers. Hear him discuss the real nature of politics and how to overcome the odds to win an election at frc.org/speakers.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. Glad to have you with us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, in the state of Oklahoma, lawmakers were set to vote on a bill very similar to the one that Governor Bryant just referenced, that he signed into law a couple of years ago, that prevented government discrimination against businesses, people, and religious organizations on the basis of their beliefs about marriage. Is the Oklahoma Right of Conscience Act, Senate Bill 197. It would have mirrored the religious liberty language, as I said, that was has been in law in Mississippi for 2 years. And it's withstood the test of time. As the governor said, there's been no complaints. They went all the way up the chain on the courts, and they were successful. But Senate leadership pulled the bill, retaliating against the author for refusing to raise taxes. So what's the price of religious freedom? So now we're holding it hostage to taxes? With us now, Senator Joseph Silk, the author of the religious liberty bill that was pulled. Senator, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, how you doing?
I'm good. Is that an accurate description of what took place?
That is that's very accurate. That is exactly what happened. Senate Bill 197, which is the bill you referenced, was scheduled to be heard this morning, and we had a late session last night on a big tax-raising revenue package that was going to raise about $450 million, and being a conservative and not really liking a lot of the taxes that were in there, I voted no, and since me and three other Republicans voted no, our bills were pulled from getting a hearing.
Now, I understand some of these bills have been put back onto the calendar today. I think this is the last day in which bills have to pass out of the Senate in order to survive the clock here. Any chance that your bill is going to find its way back to the calendar?
Well, it could, and you're right. Today is the deadline for bills to get off the floor. And some of the bills that my three Republican colleagues that voted against the tax increase, some of those bills that leadership was behind, they allowed those bills to be heard on the floor. Some of them passed, some of them didn't, but they didn't. They wanted a different presenter. So they basically reassigned those bills to someone else to have them heard. Senate Bill 197, however, the Right of Conscience Act, they have still not put back on the agenda. Technically, you're correct. They have till the end of the day that can do it. to do it, but they have not done it yet, and they haven't given any indication that they're going to.
So, Senator Silk, we have a lot of listeners in Oklahoma. Is there anything they can do at this point?
Absolutely. Basically, the bill is a live round, ready to go. We've been working on it for a couple weeks, so we have a pretty solid vote count. The language is very powerful language that will be, you know, stood up in the court. And essentially what's going on right now is there's two individuals in leadership, the pro tem, which is Senator Mike Scholz, and the floor leader, Senator Greg Treat, here in Oklahoma City. Those are the two individuals who have blocked the bill from getting a vote. And it's not a, I mean, you should never play games like that. But when you're talking about a bill that is this important, as we've seen across the nation, anybody who lives in Oklahoma and is involved in Oklahoma politics can call those, both Senator Scholz and Senator Treat's offices, and urge them to put that back on the agenda.
And by the way, folks, folks in Oklahoma, the number to Senator Treat's office is 405-521-5632, 405-521-5632. Look, this is worth calling about. Senator Silk, we just had Mississippi Governor Phil Bryant on, and 2 years ago he signed a very similar piece of law, legislation into law. In fact, I think it was almost identical. It was challenged in court. They successfully defended it, and there have been no complaints. As I was joking with him on the way out, the sky has not fallen. This actually protects people based on their religious views of marriage, businesses, individuals, discriminates against no one. In fact, what it does do, it prohibits the government from discriminating against individuals and religious organizations. And I would think of all states, Senator, the state that I actually grew up in Oklahoma, one of the most conservative states in the country, would have this on their books as a law.
Yeah, and that's what we were really hoping for. Senate Bill 197, actually, we passed it through committee last year, and then we worked with Family Research Council to get, you're exactly right, the exact language in Mississippi, which has been such good language and been upheld in the court. And you're exactly right. Right here in Oklahoma, I've spoken to several individuals who have chosen not to invest money in certain businesses because of the fear of some type of retaliation from the government when it comes to their belief system. And that's just a really sad place to be in. And like Mississippi, this bill absolutely would have addressed that. It would have put government in its proper role, and it really definitely would have protected people's, you know, rights to their conscience. And that's what we were hoping to do. And unfortunately, a piece of legislation this important is being used as a political tool.
Well, Senator, we're going to do our best here on the way out. We're going to have Dr. Everett Piper from Oklahoma Wesleyan University going to join us next. We're going to keep talking about this and encourage folks to weigh in. Senator, thanks for joining us today, and thanks for your leadership on what I think is a very, very important matter.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, Senator Joseph Silk of Oklahoma. Find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Also, right now, if you're in Oklahoma, call Senator Treat's office, 405-521-5632. When we come back, a frequent, well-known voice here on Washington Watch, Dr. Everett Piper, who is right there in Oklahoma, going to be joining us to continue this conversation. Don't go away. We're back with more Washington Watch right after this.
What does sex trafficking, abortion, and pornography have in common? A lot, as it turns out, and all three are on the rise across the world. Today, almost 45.8 million people live in slavery around the world, and around 4.5 million people are slaves in the sex industry. Those who consume pornography are much more likely to seek women for paid sex, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. Each click of pornography creates demand for more pornography and brings in a profit to the sex industry. The demand causes traffickers, pimps, and those involved in the sex industry to abuse their victims by filming them in sex acts. To learn more about the link between these issues and to find out how you can help stop it, go to frc.org/traffic. Again, that's frc.org/traffic.
Gender reassignment surgery. Once rare and unusual, it is now becoming more and more common. Across the nation, transgender activists are pushing for this costly, extreme, and unproven procedure to be declared medically necessary so that it can be paid for with taxpayer dollars. The problem for these activists is that the evidence is not on their side. In 2016, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services examined 33 studies on the subject and declared that there was not enough evidence to determine whether gender reassignment surgery improved health outcomes. One study found that those who had undergone gender reassignment surgery showed a suicide rate that was 19 times higher than the general population. Declaring gender reassignment surgery to be medically necessary is not only inaccurate, but dangerous. To view FRC's full report on this important issue, visit frc.org/surgery. Again, that's frc.org/surgery.
If you had to make a law, where would you start? America's founding fathers determined law from a fixed source, God, but culture has shifted the focus to man's self-determined law. If truth is no longer determined by God, it becomes subjective and open to interpretation. In an incisive new paper, Peter Johnston traces the origins of these dangerous trends in American law and the importance of staying true to our founding principles. To view FRC's new publication, go to frc.org/decay.
The Family Research Council had the pleasure of hosting Dr. Michael Paulson to speak about how Christians can respond to arguments against religious liberty. Dr. Paulson argues that religion is different and deems exemptions within the law. A religious person believes in God, and God's sovereignty requires complete devotion, whereas government only requires allegiance and civil duties. The Constitution itself treats religion differently, giving America religious liberty and the freedom to exercise. Visit frc.org/university to hear more about this issue.
I'm Tony Perkins, and this is Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, look, folks, Washington Watch is not a spectator sport, okay? This is a participant. You got to be a participant. This is, everybody is a player here. All right, so here we have a couple of action items already, and we're going to get to our next guest here in just a moment. I want to give you this phone number. If you live in the state of Oklahoma, time is of the essence here because the clock is ticking and this bill has to be moved forward today or it's finished. And a lot of work has been done to get it to this point. 405-521-5632, Senator Treat. He is the Senate Majority Leader who is basically holding up this bill, holding it hostage to higher taxes. That enough should get you moving in Oklahoma. 405-521-5632. Okay, and for those of you in the bluegrass state, your senator, Rand Paul, has come out publicly saying that he's going to oppose Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State. Now, I don't need to remind you, but we don't have a big margin. There's not a big margin in the Senate for Republicans. In fact, Senator Sam Brownback, who's also from Kansas, by the way, was governor, who was just recently confirmed. In fact, I think he was the last confirmation of significance to the ambassador at large for religious freedom. Every Democratic member voted against him. And it was only when the vice president cast a vote that he was successfully confirmed. You can't have, guys like Rand Paul leading a charge against good conservatives. So I would encourage you to call Rand Paul. Mike Pompeo, I know personally, worked with him since he's been in Congress. Solid conservative and is the change agent that the State Department needs. You've heard me harping on this from day one. I was never a fan of Tillerson. I communicated that to the president's team, and time has proven me right. I do think they have made the right selection now with Mike Pompeo, and Rand Paul, out saying I don't know what he wants, but he's saying he's against him. Capital switchboard number where you can get to Rand Paul is 202 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. Okay. All right, we're going to go back to the Sooner State, to Oklahoma. We're just talking with the author of the Conscience Rights Bill. And let me just set the stage here before we bring in our next guest. Senator Silk said that it is being held hostage because they wouldn't vote for taxes. Now, why is this piece of legislation important? Why do Oklahomans need this? Joining me now, Dr. Everett Piper, president of the Oklahoma Wesleyan University in Bartlesville, Oklahoma, and a frequent voice here on Washington Watch, a guest host, but a very strong voice on many issues that we care about, and a very articulate voice. Dr. Piper, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony, you doing well?
I'm doing well. I know you have weighed in with the legislature on this, and I know this is you've testified about the importance of this. Why is this a piece of legislation that the Oklahoma legislature needs to approve?
Well, because all of our First Amendment rights should be first and foremost in the responsibilities of those that we've elected to be protected. It's unconscionable that any elected official would consider our First Amendment rights second, third, fourth, or fifth on the list. We have the right of freedom of religion and freedom of conscience that is guaranteed to us not only in the United States Constitution, but in the Oklahoma Constitution. And our senators that we've elected in Oklahoma have sworn to defend that Constitution and to serve the people of Oklahoma. And what in the world are a bunch of Republican leaders thinking by sidestepping this issue and punishing Senator Silk simply because he wouldn't vote for about $500 million in tax increases? So here we have in Oklahoma, Tony, GOP leadership kills a religious freedom bill for the people who elected them because a couple of their own refused to increase taxes for, by nearly $500 million. I personally think it's shameful. And I think people are right to ask, why do we even bother to elect Republicans if they're going to turn around and do this type of thing? Oklahoma, Tony, mark my words, Oklahoma will become a blue state in the next election because of these hypocrites. They could not care less about the 70% of the Oklahomans who hold to traditional values and want their freedom of religion and conscience protected. They could not care less about abortion or about religious freedom or about fiscal responsibility. This is shameless and it's shameful. And I have called Senator Treat and left a message on his phone, and I've told him that I will continue to do my best in whatever influence I have to draw attention to this particular behavior, which is antithetical to conservative GOP politics. We might as well elect Democrats that tell us the truth rather than Republicans who lie to us. I'm angry.
Yeah. Well, I picked up on that, and rightfully so. All right. The issue here, it's not like what we've seen in some of the other states where you've actually got the left coming in and working against this. And, you know, I mean, I know they're there working, but they're not really being heard. This is more of an issue within the ranks of Republicans. I mean, Oklahoma is the reddest state in the nation. It is a very conservative state socially. I grew up there. I mentioned that earlier. It's a very conservative state. This is simply about kind of the GOP establishment wanting their taxes, wanting money, and not balancing things appropriately and punishing members. And I think they picked the wrong bill to punish a member over.
So you're going to sacrifice the religious freedom, the protection of religious freedom for the people of Oklahoma because you want to punish a more conservative senator who says, no, I'm not going to spend $500 million more of the taxpayers' money until we get our financial house in order. That's exactly what's going on. And why do we need it?
I can't imagine that the folks of Oklahoma go along with that.
Well, I hope they don't. And some people might say, well, is your religious freedom being compromised in Oklahoma? Well, Tony, you know, I've covered it on your show. You and I have talked. Yes, it's being compromised. I'm getting letters from the government telling me that I have to provide transgender accommodations on my campus. I'm saying no. I need the legislature of Oklahoma to defend me rather than to sidestep that issue. I mean, we're fighting the abortifacient mandate. I'm standing with the Little Sisters of the Poor and saying no. I need the legislature of Oklahoma to defend me and stand with me rather than sidestepping and running away from the issue because they want to punish Senator Silk for doing what was right in the first place.
And Dr. Piper, what we've actually seen in the last year as the Trump administration, rightfully so, has pushed these issues, say, no, where the federal government is not going to get into bathroom policy. The White House no longer is deciding the bathroom policies of kindergarten and first grade. The states, if they want to deal with that, they can deal with it. And so now this is rightfully before lawmakers. And here's a prime example. This is an opportunity to prevent the government of Oklahoma from discriminating against its citizens based on their religious view of marriage. And they're, rather than dealing with it, they're holding it hostage for higher taxes.
Rather than codifying that religious freedom and that freedom of conscience into law, they had the opportunity today, they had it today, to codify that protection into law. Rather than doing so, our Republican leadership set it aside, refused to take it to the floor for a vote because of a half a billion dollar dispute over taxes. So they've proven they're more interested in the money than they are the morality, and that disturbs me greatly.
Folks, let me again give you that phone number if you live in Oklahoma, and I know we've got a lot of listeners in Oklahoma. 405-521-5632. 405-521-5632. That is into the office of the Senate Majority Leader, Greg Treat, who is the one that essentially is the one who said, take this bill hostage until we get our money, and the clock is ticking. So what's the next step here? If the Senate does not move forward on this bill, what are the prospects that we see it come back?
I'm being told, maybe you can correct me, Tony, I'm being told that it's dead. It's dead if it is not acted upon today. I don't know what legislative strategies they can orchestrate or they can go through to try to revive it, to resurrect it from the dead. I'm being told that if it is not heard today, that Treat has successfully killed it, and Schultz, who is the current pro tem, Treat is the pro tem elect. Schultz is the current pro tem. Treat and Schultz together have killed this bill, and I'm being told if it isn't voted on today, it is dead. So people need to take you up on what you just said. Get on the phone, call Treat, call Schultz, tell them this is unacceptable. We want our First Amendment rights protected and honored and codified in Oklahoma.
All right. As always, Dr. Piper, thanks for joining us. And on this occasion, you're right there on the ground at literally ground zero, as you have actually been to the legislature to testify on this. We appreciate your voice once again.
Thank you, Tony.
All right. Dr. Everett Piper, president of Oklahoma Wesleyan University, by the way, a great, great institution of higher learning if you're looking for a place to send your kids. Again, if you're in Oklahoma, I'm going to give you that number one more time to give them a call, 405-521-5632. And by the way, if you've called, give me a call. If you've called Senator Treat, let me know what you're hearing. Let us know. It's always interesting to see what feedback they might be giving you. But the way it works, the legislature has a set amount of time in which you can meet. And so this is for process. If a bill does not move out of one particular chamber by a certain time, there's not adequate or sufficient time left in the legislative session to hear the bill. And so it's got to move out today. There are some rare procedural moves that could bring a bill back, but they're rarely used, and it's almost you can't do it if there's any opposition to it. So now is the time that the bill needs to move. 405-521-5632. As I said, Washington Watch is not for spectators. It's for participants. You need to be involved in your government. By the way, one of the ways you do that, if your church does not have a culture impact team, we can help you set that up so that you can join with the thousands of other churches across America that have a FRC inspired culture impact team. You can call it whatever you want. What we do is we basically give you a manual that tells you how to set this thing up, how it works, and allows whoever the pastor might choose to be kind of the moral conscience of the church, to keep the members informed of what's happening. We do annual voter registration, making sure voters are registered, and then turning out educated and turning out to encouraging them to vote. Nonpartisan, of course, has nothing to do with party. We encourage people to vote their values and to be informed and engaged and be participants. That's how our republic works. You got to be a participant. So anyway, if you'd like to know more about our culture impact teams, email me at tony@tonyperkins.com. Okay, I'm getting some messages back that they're not able to get through to the senator. It's going rolling over to the voicemail box, and the voicemail is full. Well, keep trying. Nice tactic. Of course, you know, they can only answer so many calls at a time. That's a good sign. That says that folks are calling in. So keep calling in. And see if you get through. That number again, 405-521-5632. Again, the clock is ticking. Don't give up on that. Also, I'll give you one more time on the way out. Today is the day of phone calls. Capital switchboard number 202-225-3121, 202-224-3121. If you want to give Rand Paul, if you're in the state of Kentucky, he announcing today that he was going to oppose Mike Pompeo as Secretary of State. Bad move on his part. So give him a call and let him know you'd like to see him support a conservative as Secretary of State. Okay, an update from Oklahoma. The Senate adjourned for the day without hearing the bill. So the bill is dead. The floor leader, Greg Treat, successfully killed the bill. But you can call him. You can still give him a call. Call him at that number. Let him know how disappointed you are that he took religious freedom hostage to higher taxes. 405-521-5632. And by the way, I invite him to come on the program. He can come on and talk about why he was willing to sacrifice religious freedom. Be happy to talk with him about that. All right, folks, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. And remember what the Apostle Paul says. When you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.